Okay, Rabosai. I just wanted to, before we went on to Simon Shin Ayin Bet, Se'if Bet, which is what we're up to, for the American Simon Shin Ayin Beis, Sif Beis. I wanted to point out one thing from this whole heter that Tuma D'Rabbanan of some types was hutar for a mitzvah, the original case in Brachos, in the second book of Brachos, was medalgin ayinu al gabi aronos le'os malchei akum, that it's a mitzvah to see even goyish kings, and the kohanim would jump over aronos to see goyish kings. What kind of aron is that? So say that's an aron with a poseach tefach. So it's important to just review this because this comes up some halacha lemaisa. The halacha of poseach tefach. What's the halacha of poseach tefach? When a kohen is, let's say, is buried. Let's say a kohen is buried, right? He is, let's say a kohen is buried or he's closed up, locked up someplace. So there's a difference whether there's a tefach of space between the kohen and his roof. Let's say you put a kohen in an aron now, not a kohen, it doesn't matter who's dead. You put a mace in an aron. Is it different if there's a tefach of space there or not? That's what the Gemara points out. There's a difference whether there's a tefach or there is not a tefach. Why? Because if we have a mace and there's no tefach, he's buried, he's enclosed, and there's no tefach of space. So if you have a, here you have a mace buried or enclosed. If there is, scenario one is no tefach of space. If there's no tefach of space above him, then that is what's called tumah ritzutza. Tumah ritzutza, squash tumah. Let's say you bury a mace, and then you put dirt right on top of him, and there's no tefach of space. So let's say you bury a mace in a very small coffin, and there's only half a tefach of space left in the coffin. That's called tumah ritzutza. And tumah ritzutza, the rule is boka'as ve'ole v'yoredes. It goes up and down, meaning if the mace is buried under the ground and there's no space next to him, the tumah just goes up, I mean down, there's no place for it to go down to, he's underground, it just goes up. So above, your kohen can't walk above the mace. As opposed to what case? As opposed to two cases. If there is a tefach of space above the mace, then there are two different cases. One case is susum. The mace is locked up, like he's buried underground with a tefach of space above him, right? Or he's locked in an aron with no space above him. Or they build bricks all over him with space above him, sorry, and susum. This is what's called kever susum. And the halacha is metame kol svivav. It is more chamer. For example, if you bury a mace underground without any empty space, only directly above the mace is tame. But if you bury a mace in a coffin underground with a tefach of empty space in the coffin, like most of our coffins, then that's a kever susum. There's a lot of machlokes shonim, a lot of lumdos in kever susum. I'm just giving you the mainstream approach. Then that whole kever is metame, anything near it. It's metame the side of it. For example, if I build bricks around the mace and I put them in a kever susum with a tefach of space, then the sidewall is tame. The whole kever becomes an avivos satoma. And if I bury him in a coffin with a tefach of space, a kohen can't even walk above the coffin. Even if the mace is only this wide and the coffin is this wide, he can't walk above. The whole coffin becomes like a mace. That's the chumer called kever susum. The side of it is metame, above it is metame all the way up to shamayim, as opposed to the third case, which is 2.2. If it is not susum, That's the case of the basement, where Rabbi Kiva Eger and everyone else argued against the Drisha and the Taz. Let's say the mace is stam in a house with the door closed. Then the Ohel blocks Tuma from coming out. That's the case of the end of Sif Hey of Shanayin Aleph, Mutal Koin Lamari, Tobaya Sheyeshbo Mesa, Mutal Liga Bixalov, or even to walk on the roof. Let me just review these three cases, because this might be Allah Lamaisa. One is if the Koin is squashed someplace without an Ohel, without a if there's no Tefaka space, that's not a Kalos Ohel. If the Koin is squashed without an Ohel, not the Koin, the mace doesn't have a Tefak above him, that mace is not in an Ohel, he's Tumar Ritzutza. Tumar Ritzutza, the Tumar just goes up to the sky. From the mace, not from the coffin, not from the house, from the mace. If the mace is in an Ohel with a Tefach above him, with a roof above him, a Tefach, but that Ohel is Sussum, it's buried underground, or it's closed up with bricks, or it's a house where you demolish the doors and boarded it over, a kever sasum is the most chomer, more chomer than tumah ritzutza. The whole kever, the whole structure becomes aviyah b'satumah. You can't even touch the outer wall. If I put a coin in an aron, here, if I put a coin in an aron with, and the aron is very short and there's no space of a mace and an aron, there's no space above the mace, it's as if there's no aron there. Above the mace is tumah, not above the mace is tahor. If I put the mace in an aron, and let's say I nail that aron shut, right? And there's a tefach space. That aron is a kever sasum. It's an enclosed tomb. And the whole aron is a viable satoma. I can't touch the side of it, even if I'm 6 inches from the mace. I can't stick my finger or walk above the side of the aron, even where the mace isn't there, right? If the aron is this big and the mace is only here, the whole aron is a viable satoma. The most makel case is if the mace is in an ohel, but it's not a kever sasum. It's not a sasum kind of ohel. It's a pasuach kind of ohel. If it's a pasuach kind of ohel, such as it has an opening, and remember what we paskin against the drisha and the taz, even if the door is shut, but if it has a door that's made for opening and closing, that counts as having an opening. If it's an ohel that's not sasum, the ohel keeps the tumah inside and doesn't let the tumah go outside. So let's say this mace is in an aron with a window. With an open window. The mace is in a ventilated aron with a poseach tefach, with a tefach opening. The mace is in an aron with tefach opening, or the mace is in an aron, you know, with a door that I can open and close all the time, then the tumah stays in the aron, doesn't go out. I could touch the side, I could walk on top, I could put my hand on top. The tumah does not get out of that ohel. So the most makel case is if the mace is in an open space that's not sasum, then the tumah doesn't go out. I mean, except it goes out through the window if there's another ohel outside the window. The most machmer case is if he's in a kever sasum, a totally enclosed area, which is has space inside, and then the whole kever is aviyah b'satama. And the medium case is if the mace is squashed. There's no space above the mace. He's squashed somewhere. Then the mace, just above the mace is tameh, and to the sides of the mace is tahar. Okay, that's important halachos to know. Okay. What this has to do with the sif we just read is you have to go back to the Gemara, and then one of the Gemaras that the Beis Yosef quoted, and it happens to be tangentially tied in. That's not important. It's just an important halacha to. It's an important halacha. It's an important halacha to know. So for example, what's a good example? Let's say they have a mace or a skeleton in the museum, and it's sealed inside some sort of sealed case. It's not a display case with a door. It's like sealed up in a lucite case. You have a skeleton and a lucite case sealed up. That lucite case is a kever sasum. Now, not only doesn't it block the tumah from coming out of the skeleton, it's marbe the tumah. Because if there's a poseach tefach in there, now the whole lucite case is aviyah b'satumah. Anything above the lucite case, below the lucite case, touching the side of the lucite case is all usher for a kohen and makes you a tmei mace. That's the din of kever sasum. Okay, that's important to know. With this, I think we'll be done with all those pretty much, and we'll go on to a sif base. Effie.
Is it totally impractical to make that third case in a coffin with a little door, and then there won't have any tuma problems for Kohanim?
That's actually, the truth is that, just to be fair, there's still a Gzeira Drabanan. That's how Tanya Gemara says they were made Gzeira on all coffins, so you avoid confusion. Since that's only Gzeira Drabanan, it's mutter for a mitzvah. But it doesn't matter. Once you bury it underground, it's a kever sasam, because now it's sasam underground. But I guess until you bury it, correct, until you bury it, theoretically, you could do that, but it would still be Gzeira Drabanan.
It changes it to all sasam once you bury it in the ground, even though...
Yeah, once you bury it on the ground, you were sosim it. Now you blocked it up. It's a kever sasam. Doesn't have to be made of something. It could, ground also counts as kever sasam. The truth is, our standard mesim are all kever sasam, because usually there's a tefach space in the coffin above the mace. Even in Israel, where they bury without a coffin, they put bricks, they build like a little roof of bricks on top of the mace, because it's disrespectful to throw dirt on him. So they built a roof of bricks and then throw the dirt on those bricks, and therefore there's usually a poseach tefach. So our graves nowadays are kever sasam, which means that it's not much of a nafkamina. Just means that even theoretically, if you had x-ray vision and you could tell exactly where the mace was, you still can't, a Kohen still can't stick his finger above the rest of the plot. The whole plot, is the whole rectangle is one big kever sasam, and above that is tummy. Okay, since we don't have x-ray vision, it doesn't really make a difference because you don't know exactly where in that rectangle the mace is. Isaac.
All right, just to clarify, if a kever sasam is in a bigger ohel, then a Kohen can't even be in that ohel, because the kever sasam is the din of a mace.
Exactly. If the kever sasam is in a bigger ohel, the Kohen can't be in that ohel. So just for example, if I, okay, that's not a good example. Forget that. Okay. Okay, let's go weiter. Sif Beis. Kivrei Akum. Right? How about Goyim? We know this is, I'm not going to regale you with the stories, but every Gadol from like, you know, the 18th through 20th centuries has some story where some guy asked him, how come you hold that Goyim aren't called Adam? And he gave some clever answer. What's pshat is a famous machlokes tanoin. Are Goyim mitamei ba'ohel? Why? Because it's Zos HaTorah Adam ki yomis ba'ohel. And based on a different pasuk where Jews are called Adam, actually, you know what? Before we start that, let me just draw some pictures, right? Just to prove that I'm still an artist, right? If here is a mace, and here is an enclosed coffin, and this space is less than tefach, this is called tuma ritzutza. If here's an enclosed coffin, and this space is a tefach, this is called kever sasam, and there's an opening at Tefach in the Aron, which is what Tosa says the Okimti Gemara there. This is just called an Ohel. It's not a Kever Sasam. It's not. And what's the Nafgamina? The Nafgamina is red is where the Tuma is. Green is where it isn't. In Tuma Ritzutza, there's Tuma here, but not here. Only above the mace, and not here. In Kever Sasam, there's Tuma all around. All right, I guess technically below the mace would also be all around. That's all one big mace. And in an Ohel Mamish, this is all green, and this part is also green. I'm just making a half secure. This part is also green if there's no roof here. If there'd be a roof there, then the tumah would go out, and that would connect it to Ohelos because it's a window between two Ohels. But then you could go anywhere near there. Okay, that's the principle. Let's go back to Goyim. Rav Shum Bar Yochai says, Atam Kriyim Adam, Ve'in Ovdei Kachavim Kriyim Adam. We're called Adam, and the Goyim aren't called Adam. And therefore, Goy is not Adam Kiyomis Ba'ohel. And Rav Shum Gamliel and other Tanarim disagree, saying, no, everyone's called an Adam. After all, we all come from Adam Arishon. And therefore, Goy is Metame Ba'ohel. Okay, and there's a story about every Gadol in Europe that the local Earl, Duke, priest, whatever it may be, you know, cardinal called them and said, you Jews, how come you consider us Gentiles to be animals when you say we're not Matam Ba'ol because we're not called Adam? And every one of them had a clever answer. I think it's the Netziv. I don't remember which Gadol said which, maybe the Netziv says, no, Goyim are called B'nai Adam in plural, but you're not called Adam in singular. Only Jews are called Adam in singular because every Jew cares so much about every other Jew. We're like one person. But you don't really care about the other Russian peasants. Okay, the more simple shot is probably that, you know, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he was into Kabbalah. That's what I heard. That's what I heard today. And Al Pi Kabbalah, Adam doesn't mean human being. Adam means a very, very high angelic spiritual madrega that's associated with the concept of Adam Arishon, not in the Pshuto Shel Mikra level of just being a first human, but on a different level of interpretation of the soda of Adam Arishon. So Lechora, the simple shot to explain, I don't know if the cardinal would have accepted this, it's just that according to Shem Bar Yochai, Adam means an angelic spiritual nature which you only get through the Torah. And according to Shimon Gamliel, Adam means a human, and Goyim are humans, but since they don't follow the Torah, they don't have neither do Jews. Jews only try to get it a little. We're not up there yet, but they're not even on their way to the Madriga called Adam. In any case, we're not going to engage in apologetics here. Let's figure out how we paskin. Who do we pass like? It's a big machlokes rishonim. We're not going to go through the rayas back and forth, but it's a tremendous machlokes rishonim. Which Tana, which Tana we paskin like? Just for example, the Rambam and the Urayim paskin like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And the Marami Rutenberg and the Tosfos, Paskin like Rav Shimon Bar Gamliel. There's actually three Shitas here. Why are there actually three Shitas? So here you have a mace Akum. By Akum, I just mean a guy. Ohel. Maga Umasa. It's never clear in the Gemara whether Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is also Makel in Maga Umasa, or only Makel and Ohel, Adam Kiyomas Ba'Ohel. So the Shita, the Urayim, is super Makel. The Urayim has this super Makel Shita. He says mutter and mutter. Technically, it doesn't sound this way from Beis Yosef, but if you look up the Urayim himself inside, he says it's mutter to go into the Ohel with the dead guy because there's no Tuma, and he admits a dead guy is Matame B'Magab Masa. But since he's not Matame Ba'Ohel, he's a Kohen's not Muzer, even though he's Matame B'Mago Obamasa. So here, let me be more exact. Why not be exact? Here says the Urayim, Eino Matame B'Ohel, and Mutter L'Kohen, even though he's Matame B'Mago Obamasa, since it's not like a regular mace, it's not the kind of Toma that a Kohen is. A Kohen is only Usher on things that would be Matame B'Ohel. The Rambam holds that he's Eino Matame Ba'ohel, but he is Matame Magu Masa, and therefore it is Usur. Usur to a Kohen, and they are both like the Tana Rab Shimon, which is Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. However, other Rishonim are like the Tana Rab Shimon Gamliel. They're both Shimons. Tosfos and the Maharabi Rutenberg, obviously we can make a big list. I'm just quoting you people who are in the Beis Yosef. He says, nope. Metame Ba'ohel and Metame Magu Masa, and therefore they are both Usser for a Kohen. There's no difference between a dead Jew and a dead guy in terms of this, because Adam just means the human species and is not referring to any special spiritual fancy Madrega. How do we Paskin? Unclear. says the Mechaber Kivri Akum Nachum Lizar Ekoim Milelech Aleihem. The Mechaber says in between. What does he say? He says, really, there's room to be Mekel, but it's proper to be Machmir. Ad the Rama, Afal Bishish Makilim, the Nachon Lahachmir. The Rama and the Mechaber both agree. What does Nachon mean? It means that there's room to be Samach on the Makilim, but one shouldn't. Meaning, if someone wants to be Mekel to go into a Goyish cemetery, or what's the more common case? To go to the Museum of Natural History, which had dead Goyim, in ways that the Tumah goes to the whole museum. There's the old issue of museums. If a Kohen says, I want to go to the Museum of Natural History, it's not proper for the Kohen to go to the Museum of Natural History because there are dead guys in there. There are dead Jews in the Museum of Natural History, right? The Jews haven't been in America long enough to be natural history. There's no dead Jews there. Could be the Israel Museum also has no dead Jews. I never checked it out, but like maybe they only have dead people from 4,000 years ago when they were all Goyim here, according to the Bible. So if a Kohen wants to go, he can. I can't stop him. I can't say it's not Veira. I can't say you're not allowed to. I could say it's not proper because it's proper to be Machmir. So that is the compromise. The Shach points out in Sivkat and Dalid that we don't, no one holds like the Urayim. Says the Shach, even the Mekilim are not like the Urayim. They're like the Rambam. So based on what's the Psak? The psak is, we don't paskel like the Urayim. That's what the Shach says. This is sort of, and one second, Nachon Lahachmir. You could be Mekel. What do you mean could be? It's not recommended. You're not a ben. It's not for a ben Torah. It's not the proper practice lechatchila. However, obviously, what this means is there's certain shasadcha, kavanah brios, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, but the it's nachon lahachmir, and that pretty much represents the reality nowadays. What I've seen nowadays, sort of kohanim who are amaratzim are not makben on ohel vanakum. They're still makben on mago masa because we don't simuch on the reim, and kohanim who are bnei Torah who are more educated know the nachon lahachmir. And our makbid on Tumas Ohel of a Goy. Give me half a second. The Pesachei Tshuva here in Sukkot Vav quotes from an Achron called the Shav HaKohen, who says, Midina Yishlo Sokach. He says, no, it's not Nachum. Midina we hold like Tosos and the Maharam. However, most Achronim don't say that. Most Achronim say, like the Mechaber and the Ramah. So even though the Pesachei Tshuva quotes one Achron who says Medina like Tosos the Maharam, that's not mainstream. Most modern day poskim, such as the Badei Shulchan, etc., pasuk like the Mechaber and the Ramah, that it's Nachon Lahachmer. So you don't have to yell at someone who you don't have to like think they're an Avarian if a Kohen's not Machben and goes to the Museum of Natural History or goes under a tree which is over a Goyish cemetery, or even goes into a Goyish cemetery, etc., or even goes to a funeral parlor where they're having a funeral for a Goy. But if it's not the proper practice, if the person wants to be educated, what's the proper halacha, then you tell them that that's not the proper halacha. The achronim here in the Pesachei Tshuva, he summarizes, there's a ton of achronim, comes up with, there's all these weird scenarios that, weird things that the Chassam Sofer, they did in the Chassam Sofer's days that are not so relevant now. But the principle is there any room to be more Mekel, but Seirf other Stekos, since it's just a Nachon Lahachmir? The Chassam Sofer says, after all, some people are Mekel if you were already Nitma that day. Let's say the Kohen's father died that day, he was at the funeral, then maybe it's not usher to go to another funeral the same day, and maybe the Makam Cholashim Bosakon, okay, all kinds of weird things. The more interesting thing, the Dogam Ervava. The Dogam Ervava quotes this scandalous kula, possible kula of the Ravid. The Ravid, in some places, sounds like the Ravid thinks that the Isser Tumas Kohenim is only if the Kohen's Tahar, he can't become Tameh. But if he's already Tameh, then there's no Isser. Then there's no Isser, or at least no Isser D'Oraisa, right? And once there's no Isser D'Oraisa, then we're going to say, well, if it's only Shiloh D'Rabbanan, then we don't have to be Machmer by a Goy, right? The question is, did the Ravid ever have the Shita? The Ravid in some places says explicitly not that way. The Ravid in his, sorry, I wrote this down someplace. The Ravid the Raivit on the Rif explicitly wrote not this way, but the Raivit, two places in the Mishnah Torah, writes that since nowadays the Kohanim are Tomei already, therefore, sounds like there's no Issa D'Oraisa. That's a big Tzad L'Hakel. The question is, how seriously do we take the Tzad L'Hakel of the Raivit? The Dogmer Vava here, which is the Note of Yehuda, changed his mind about it. At first he said, I think we can be makel nowadays for a guy, because Mela, according to you, can mean sorry for the Raivit, that there's no Isser D'Oraisa nowadays anyway, because all the Kohanim are Tomei. Why? We have no Paradum, no Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately. So therefore, a Kohen is Nitma once, is Tomei the rest of his life. And every Kohen, by the time he's 20 years old, I just picked a random number, Mestama was Nitma once, you know, at least by accident, even if he never was Nitma Beheter. You know, the odds are once he was Nitma by accident, and therefore, that's a big Tzad L'Hakel, this Raivit. Then he says, nope, I'm not convinced of this Raivit, because the Raivit just says you don't get Malkus. Maybe he admits there's an Issa D'Oraisa. He just doesn't think you get Malkus. And therefore, once there's an Issa D'Oraisa, whether or not you get Malkus, we take it very seriously. So it's unclear whether or not the Raivit has the Shita. It's unclear whether the Raivit really said it's mutter for a Tomei Kohen to be Nitma L'Meis again, or whether he just says you're not Chayiv Malkus. And even if he said it, he only said in his Hasagos on the Mishnah Torah, he contradicted himself in his Hasagos on the Rif. Some of the Achronu Kof, the Tvim Deim, they mean what we have printed in our Shas, the Hasagos on the Rif. It just used to be printed in the Sefer Tvim Deim before the Vilna Shas. And even if the Raivit did say it, he contradicted himself in his Hasagos on the Rif, and every other Rishon disagrees. So this Raivit is a very minority Shita, which he might or might not have said. Therefore, halachically, the Note of Yehuda concludes, we don't take this Raivit into account very much. We don't take this Raivit into account very much. I'm not saying it's worthless, but we're not going to say in every case, let's be makel based on the Raivit. So let me mention two big famous controversial shitas. What are the two famous controversial shitas? Shitas one is the Raivit on the Rambam, who says Kohen Tomei either ein Isser or ein Malkos. We're not sure if he said there's no Isser or there's no Malkos. Even if he said there's no Isser, it's against the Raivit on Al Harith and all the other Rishonim. So Lamaisa, it's a Shitas Yochanan of the Raivit. The Raivit contradicts himself. And even the more Makel contradictory side of the Raivit, we're not sure if he really meant a Heter or just a Ptor Malkus. Lamaisa, we don't really use the Dogma of Ravid decide in the end. That we don't use this as a big Heter. You can't use this as a big Sniff L'Hakel. The other big scandalous Kula Shita is mentioned the Gilyan Marsha here. Dibur HaMaschil Shu Toma Durabanan. Ayin Masha Kosavti Begulin Yula Elsim and Shin Heis Ifches, the Sif Yiches, the Kohanim Bismanazev, Yesh Lasoso Sniff Bisfakos, is the famous Shita of, I hope I don't have it backwards. One second, I don't want to say the Shita backwards, so give me a third of a second here, just so I don't forget who says which. Yeah, okay, I don't have it backwards, good. The famous Shita of the Marashdam, he says that Kohane Chazaka, all our Kohanim nowadays are only Kohanim al-Pi Chazaka. We have no proof that they're a Kohen. They have no Shtar like they once had in the old days, right? Sefer Ezra says that before the time of Sefer Ezra, you had a Shtar that you were a Kohen. How do we know that? Because in Sefer Ezra, it says that when they went to Shivat Zion, they went back to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, they asked the Kohanim where their shtar was, and they didn't have a shtar. So they said, you know what? Some Kohanim had a shtar, they were good. Kohanim without a shtar, they said, okay, you can't work in the Beis HaMikdash and eat kachim until Eliyonavi comes, until Mashiach comes, and then we'll figure it out. That's how we know that even the Rambam, who thinks Mashiach won't do miracles, admits that Mashiach will figure out who's a Kohen and who's not. Now, in any case, nowadays no Kohen has a shtar. We're all Kohanim al-Pi Chazaka. The tremendous machlok sachronim is, what did Ezra say? There are two ways to understand what Ezra says. Ezra says you can eat truma, but you can't work in the Beis HaMikdash. Did he mean midoraisa, you're a Kohen? But I'll be extra chumra. You can't work in the Beis HaMikdash. Or did he mean midaraisa? You're not a kohen. However, I'll let you eat truma because truma was on his Ezra Rabbanon. Tremendous machlok zachronim, says the Maharsham. He says kohani chazaka. Einam vadai kohanim min haTorah against the Mabit and his son the Maharit and most achronim who says nope, they're kohanim vadoim min haTorah. It's only a chumra midrabanan that Ezra didn't let them work in the Beis HaMikdash. This is a tremendous amount. If anyone's a Kohen here, you should be insulted by this Marashdam. The Marashdam says all Kohanim nowadays are not really Vade Kohanim. They're only Safe Kohanim midoraisa. We let them duchen because it's not an issue doraisa to duchen if you're not a Kohen. We let them do various things because, like, the Rabbanim were Mekel. But most Achronim say no. They are Vade Kohanim in a Torah. Chazakah. Chazaka is a principle d'oraisa. Just we wouldn't let them work in the Beis HaMikdash because of an extra chumra. As a matter of fact, says the Chazon Ish, when we rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, if all we have is Kohani Chazaka, we'll let them work in the Beis HaMikdash. Because they're really Kohanim d'oraisa. Ezra just says, if we can find better Kohanim, we won't let you work in the Beis HaMikdash. But if the only Kohanim we have are Kohanim Alpi Chazaka, we'll even let them work in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a Chazon Ish, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, halacha l'maisa, according to this Marashdam, says the Gilyan Marashah here, you can make a snif l'hakel. The snif l'hakel is all our Kohanim are only Safek Kohanim. Now, that doesn't make a heter. They're only Safek Kohanim. But if they're Safek Kohanim, then you have other cases like Mace Akum and like this and like that with a lot of other Tzadim l'hakel, you can make because we're only Safek Kohanim nowadays. There's no Vadek Kohanim nowadays. That is a lot of Akron hold like the Marashdam. Marashtam ve'od, it's not a shitus yachid like the Ravid. The Shilas Yavetz from Yaakov Emden holds like the Marashtam, but the majority of Akron hold like the Mabit and his son the Maharit. Okay, big machlokis. Are our Kohanim nowadays Vadei Kohanim? Just Ezra made a Chumra bi'alma that we prefer better Yichus than the Beis HaMikdash? Or are they only Safek Kohanim? If they're only Safek Kohanim, you see that's a big stiff lahakal. The Gili Marashah here held like the Marashtam. Right? On the page, held like the Marashdam. Halach lemaisa, this Marashdam is a serious shita. However, since he's the minority shita, therefore we can't automatically use him as a snif lahakel. There are those in Jewish history who want to be very radical. I guess before they had open Orthodox, they just had people who wanted to make crazy kulas. So there were those 100 years ago who wanted to make crazy kulas, who says any Kohen can go to any funeral nowadays. Sveik Sveika. According to the Marashdam, he's only Safek Kohen. And even if he is a Kohen, maybe the Ravid's right. And he's allowed to be Nitma because he was already Tomei once by accident sometime in his whole life. Okay, that's ridiculous because the Ravid's not a real Safek. The Ravid's a Shitas Yachid that might not even exist and that contradicts itself in two different books of the Ravid. And even the Marashdam is not the majority Shita. Okay, but it's good to know that there are these two shitas out there, the very minority, far out heter of the Ravid, which may or may not exist, and the serious minority shita. I mean, there's like a 40-60 minority, not like a shitas yachid minority, of the Marashdam, the Ar Kohanim, or only Safek Kohanim. Okay, but generally, the Mahalach of the Poskim is to apply the laws of Kahuna normally and not to try to be Mekel based on these two factors, but it's important to know that they exist. Effie.
Is Tumas Akum that like Derabanan the Kolodeos?
No. Tumas Akum, according to Tosas and the Maram, is Matami Doraisa, same as a Jew. And according to the Rambam, he's Matami Vimago Vimasa Doraisa, same as a Jew.
So the Marashdam would only help for.
What the Marashdam would say is this. He would say that if our Kohanim were only Safek Kohanim and most Rishonim would like the Rambam anyway, and it's only a Nachom Lahachmir like the Tosas and the Maram. Then, if you're only a Safek Kohen, it's only a Nachum HaHachmir, then you can be Mekel if you want, if you need to. That was sort of what he's implying here. Right? But it's all based on the fact it's only a Nachum HaHachmir. He wouldn't say something that's Pashat Asr is Mutter because you're Safek Kohen. It's still Safek Doraisa. Okay. The last thing I want to point out, and I said this last time, is that all the Achronim agree. I don't mean all the Achronim. I'm sure you could find someone if you look. I mean, the consensus of the Achronim is There's no sof tumalatzes by a guy. There's no sof tumalatzes by a guy. That's a very useful heter. Very useful heter, no sof tumalatzes by a guy. What that means is that if there's a dead guy and the guy died in a hotel room and they shut the door, the hallway's okay. We don't say sof tumalatzes. If they open the door, then it's nachum lahachmir. But if they shut the door, then it's okay. So it's not even a nachum lahachmir. It's a heter gomer of sof tumalatzes by a guy. This would be, for example, let's say I go to I'm going to university, and there's an anatomy lab there with a few dead bodies. And it's in Chutzlar, it's Alpi Rov, the dead bodies are goyim, right? Okay, for various sociological reasons, the odds are probably, decent that they're goyim. Alpi Rov, the dead bodies are goyim. So the dead bodies in the anatomy lab, so it's still nachum lahachmir not to go into the same OL as the anatomy lab. But if there's a closed door, if the door to the anatomy lab is closed, and even though the only way out is through the hallway, there's no sof tumalatzes. And therefore, that's a very important thing to know. We don't worry about sof tumalatzes by a guy. Similarly, how about this case? I'm in an apartment building, and a guy dies in the other apartment. As long as the door to that apartment is closed, the Kohen can walk in the hallway. So there's no sof tumalatzes by a guy. Why is there no sof tumalatzes by a guy? So there's no sof tumalatzes by a mace guy. Why? Well, according to the Rambam Pasha, there's no tumas oil at all. Right? The Rambam. There's no Tumas Ohel at all by a guy. So, of course, no Sof Tumalatzes. Lefishach. Sof Tumalatzes is only Midrabanan. And one second. The Shach himself doesn't say this, but maybe because anywhere goes your guy. If Sof Tumalatzes is only Drabbanan, you could say there only goes their Sof Tumalatzes on a Jew, not on a guy. Right? Because like Jews, we have control over, etc. They didn't want to make our life too hard and be gozer on a guy. But there's a better Svara. Say the Achronim. This is not the real svara. The real svara is that the guy's tumah is not sofo lotzes. What do you mean sofo lotzes? The tumah has to go out. Why does tumah have to go out? Don't say tumah has to go out because it's going to go out. We're not in Ovel. You don't know the future. Don't say tumah is going to go out because psychologically people take tumah out. No, they don't. Sometimes they leave it in. Why sof tumah lotzes? Because a dead Jew has a chi of kvura, so you have to take the tumah out to be kover it. But a dead guy does not have a chi of kvura. Since there's no chi of kvura, we don't say sof tumalatze. Because sof tumalatze is based on the fact that halachically it has to be yotze. I understand, even a dead Jew doesn't halachically have to be yotze. You can just put a cemetery in his house. But that's where it gets started. So say the achronim. Kevan she'ein chi of Kvura begoy. Now I know you'll say, don't we say we're kover a guy because of Darkei Shalom? I know because of Darkei Shalom, but not be'etzem, right? Ein sofo lotzeis alpi halacha. I don't mean alpi sociology and psychology. Alpi halacha, a Jew's tuma has to be yotzeis. You're chayiv to bring him to the cemetery, even if I plan to leave him in my closet, but I'm chayiv to bring him to the cemetery. But a guy's tumah is not sof tumalatzes. Because even if I plan to bring the guy to the cemetery, halachically he could stay in my closet. And that's the main reason the Achronim say. Even if you don't have any special shitas, there's no sof tumalatzes by a guy, even if you hold a guy is matari ba'ol. And even if you hold sof tumalatzes doraisa, so a guy should have sof tumalatzes, no. Only a Jew has sof tumalatzes because a dead Jew has to go out to the cemetery. A guy doesn't have sof tumalatzes because a dead guy doesn't halachically have to go out to the cemetery, regardless of what people are actually going to or not going to do. Okay, that's a very, very important halacha l'maisa, and now I think we're ready to go weiter. Simon Shinayin Gimel. We mentioned this, I think, already. Just like an adult Kohen has an Isser to Oraisa to not be Nitna Lameis, we're also Muzer, and it's a big machlokus that's not quoted anywhere in these pages, I think, but we assume even if both Kohanim and Yisraelim are Muzer. Every Jew is Muzer, not to be Matame, a minor Kohen, a Kohen Katan. That's Emor V'Yamarta, Lahazer Gedolim, Alaktanim. This is called the Isser of Sfiya B'Yadayim, Samach Pei Yud Yud Hei, feeding B'Yadayim. It's an Isser D'Oraisa. Don't tell me Chinuch and Drabbanon, etc. It's an Isser D'Oraisa to take a piece of pork and put it in the mouth of a baby. It's an Isser D'Oraisa to take Tuma and put it in the hands of a baby Kohen or under the roof with a baby Kohen, etc. Generally, we assume whatever's usher, there's an Isser D'Oraisa, not to Rabbanon, Isser D'Oraisa, not Chinuch, Isser D'Oraisa to do it to a katan. That's based on the drush of Lahazer Gedolim Al Ketanim. We have Emor V'Amarta, which is Marbe Gedolim Al Ketanim by Tuma. Then there's parallel drushes by a few different things in the Chumash, and the common denominator of all of them is pretty much all the Isserim. So therefore, we see it's an Isser D'Oraisa for Shabbos. We assume that also. It's an Isser D'Oraisa for me to give a crayon and a piece of paper to a katan on Shabbos. So that's what we say. It's an Isser D'Oraisa. V'davkla tamosu b'yadayim avalim katanim tam me'atzman ayim ba'orchaim sim shimim gimel ein itzorech lafrishan. That's only I can't take the Kohen katan and bring him into the funeral home or the cemetery. I can't take the baby Kohen in the baby carriage and bring him to the cemetery. Remember, some people are even machmir that I can't even take a fetus of a Kohen and bring him into the cemetery. Okay, but at the very least, the baby, that's pashut, that's an Isser D'Oraisa. It's very, very chomer. You have to be very nizhar in this inyan. You have to be very nizhar in this. And it's an Isser D'Oraisa. It's not like more kal than the adult. It's still an Isser D'Oraisa. What if the baby does it himself? Then that's the question of katan ochel nevelos bezim mitzuvin lafrisho aim mitzuvin lafrisho. It's a shas white sugya, which is mostly discussed in Hilchos Shabbos and Shin Mem Gimel. And we paskin generally that katan, that if the baby does it himself, baby, I mean up to 12 years and 11 months and 29 days, right? If the kid does it himself, the father has a mitzvah chinuch to teach him the right way. But a stranger does not have to stop kids from doing averos, because the stranger is not chayiv in chinuch, and the stranger is not doing anything. So if the Kohen goes by himself to a funeral or a cemetery, I don't have to stop him. However, the Shulchan Aruch actually said, see in Shimon Shin Mem Gimel what it says, and the Shachir gives you a clue what it says. Says the Shachir, Mashma kadomrin hasan ein tzarech lafrishan hoedin hacha, mi wahevi rav sham, rav meaning the Ramah, the yeshem and then dav kshol yelachinuch ayin sham. That says the, then he quotes the end of Aguda, if there are kids sleeping, Kohen kids sleeping and someone dies near them, you don't have to wake them up. But for Chinuch, it's a nice idea too. It's always a nice idea to be Mechanech if you're going to be successful. However, what do we see? There's a machlokes in Shin Mem Gimel. If the kid is below Chinuch, for sure, a two-year-old Kohen runs into the cemetery. If I'm not his father, it's not my problem. How's he going to learn? He'll learn when he gets older. The question is, what if a 10-year-old Kohen runs into a cemetery? He is already the age of Chinuch. So, does a stranger have to be mechanich him or not? Is a machlok in Shimon Shimon Gimel. If you look in Shimon Shimon Gimel, we have Mishnah Berurah there, who can tell us the consensus of the Achronim. He quotes the Chayi Adam, and a lot of Achronim assume this way, that we're mechalik between Isser D'Oraisa and Isser D'Rabbanan. This has nothing to do with Tumas Kohanim. It's called Tor Kula. For an Isser D'Oraisa, if the kid is a Yilachinach, everyone should stop him. Hey, if you can. For an Isser D'Rabbanan, then we are Mechriya like the Makel opinion. So since Tumas Kohanim is an Isser D'Oraisa, therefore, if you saw a 10-year-old Kohen going to the cemetery, even if you're not related to him, you should still try to stop him. Midin Chinuch. Even though you're not the one who's Chayv in Chinuch, but still, all Jews should try to teach all Jews the right way. So that's the Halacha L'maisa. Again, this is not just Kahuna. This is everything. What about a Katan? So, Lehaviro biyadayim is Aser min HaTorah. lehafrisho min ha'iser. If he's doing it himself, do you have to stop him? If the baby picks up a mukta toy on Shabbos, do you have to stop him? Or even if a 10-year-old does something mukta on Shabbos, do you have to stop him? So that is a machlokes, right? Lo higia lechinuch. There's no chi of lafrisho. Higia lechinuch. The av. And lemaisa, a lot of achronim are machmer on the aim also is chai of lafrisho. Achirim, the achra of the Mishnah Brura is, boy, I should have left myself a room. It depends if it's an Isser Doraisa, if the kid is doing an Isser Doraisa, or the kid is doing an Isser Dorabanan. Then you don't have to stop him since Tumas Kohanim is an Isser Doraisa. Therefore, if you see a 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 7-year-old Kohen going to the cemetery, you should tell him, hey, you're a Kohen, you shouldn't be going there. Okay, how far you have to go, you have to use your common sense. We're not learning common sense now. I hope you have that already. Weiter. If base. Afila bal mum. Muzer militame v'cholol v'kohenes v'term litame. Even a kohen bal mum, right, since he's allowed to eat kodshim, is muzer on all the isurim of kahuna. A kohen bal mum has all the isurim of kahuna. He's allowed to eat kodshim and truma. However, a kohenes, a female, has no isurim whatsoever. And likewise, a cholol. What does a cholol mean? His father married a grusha and had him. He's the schalom in a kahuna. He's not a kohen at all. Doesn't get the first aliyah, doesn't duchen, etc. Therefore, he's not muzer. The Shach points out something which is obviously logical. What if you have a case where he's a kohen midaraisa, but midrabanan they were gozer, he's a cholol? Then he has to be machmer both ways, because midrabanan is a cholol, but midaraisa is a kohen, and then he can't be matame. Okay. Gimel. All the mesim it says in the parsha. What parsha? This week's parsha works out. Right, that's why I went so slow. So it would be this week's parsha. That la'avivlimo v'levnol vito lachiv v'lachos abzula krova elav. And we also darshan Torah Shabbat pekim l'sheiro's wife. The 7 krovim in the parsha. That it says are going to matam et lehem. It's not that he's permitted to be matam et lehem. This is a mafurish brisa. He is chayiv to be matam et lehem. He is chayiv to go to their funeral. It's not optional. He's chayiv to go to his relative's funeral. Echad ha'ish, echad ha'isha. Whether he's a man or a woman, the Shach says something, a kohenes. L'chori, he means even a kohenes. Whether he's a man or a woman, he has to go to the funeral. By the woman, not such a big chiddush. By the man, even though he's being metame, he has to be metame. Lo yitama, it's a machlokas tanoim taka, but we paskin lo yitama chova. Here, who's he coming lafuke? He's coming lafuke, the funny shita, the Rambam. The Rambam has a funny shita. The Rambam says only a kohen has to go to the funeral and be metame. A kohenes doesn't. And l'chor Yisrael doesn't. Here, it's a little funny. We pass like all Rishonim, a Kohen is chayav to go to the to be Matame. And Kol Shekeinu Kohenes and Yisrael. But the Ram says only a Kohen's chayav to be Nitma and not a Kohenes and Yisrael. That's a very, very strange Shita. The Rav loved this Shita of the Rambam. We don't pass like it. What's the svar for everyone else for the Mechaber? It's obvious. Even a Kohen who has an Isser Tumah is chayav to be nitma for his relative. Kol Shekein, a regular Jew, is chayav to be nitma for his relative. The Rambam, obviously, is a funny shita. He would say, the chayav to be nitma, it goes back to why do you have to be nitma? We assume the chayav to be nitma is to help bury the mace and be involved with the mace. If the chayav to be involved with the mace, and a kohen's chayav, Kol Shekein, a kohenes and Yisrael. The Rambam would say, no, what's the chiyuv to be nitma? The chiyuv to be nitma is dav to be mechalol his kedusha. The chiyuv of lo yitama chova is davka, he has to defile himself to show that when his relative dies, he doesn't care about his own kedusha anymore and he lowers himself from his madrega and is defiled. It's davka chiyuv to defile himself. Therefore, a kohen has to be nitma because he has to defile himself. He has to be mechalol himself. But a Kohanis or Yisrael doesn't have to be Nitma because it doesn't defile them anyway. So therefore, there's no Chiyuv. That's a tremendous Chiddush of the Rambam, right? When we say La Yitama Chova, which is how we paskin, Machaber and the Rishonim versus the Rambam. Why? To be involved with the mace. And therefore, who? Kohen, the Kol Shekain, Kohenes, the Yisrael. I know he doesn't say Yisrael, but it goes without saying. The Rambam has a funny shita. He says, Davka Kohen. Why would it be Davka Kohen? It must be that the Y is Davka to defile. The Rav said Machalo himself. It's a special chiyuv that he has to show that he that his madrega is not important when his relative died. That he, just like the Rav's word about Ninos, that you have to defile, you have to lose your whole madrega of Obed Hashem, of a human being practically, when a relative dies. Likewise, the Kohen has to give up his madrega when a relative, he has to lower himself from his pedestal when his relative dies. But then only a Kohen has to be Nitma. Yisrael doesn't have to be Nitma. If he's not good at digging, then why should he bury? He should let someone who's good at digging bury. If he's not good at carrying heavy weights, why should he carry? Let someone else carry. Right? Yisrael doesn't have to be Nitma because he's not defiling himself. Okay, very mechudish philosophical shita of the Rambam. In any case, we don't hold like the Rambam. We hold like all the other Rishonim in the Mechaber. Dalet. Elohim Krovim Shematami Lehem. These are the Krovim. Ishto Nesua Sheik Shera Aval Psula Ogrusha O Arusa Lo Onev Lo Matami La. His wife only after Nisuin, right? After Erisin, she's not really close enough yet. And only if she's permitted for him to marry. If she's forbidden him to marry, then that relationship is not sanctioned. If it's not a sanctioned relationship, she's not considered one of the Shiva Krovim. And if they got divorced, then it goes without saying. Once they got divorced, so what is there to talk about? They're not related anymore. We'll see later that someone discusses here in Simon Shin Ayin Dalid. Okay, we'll get that. Sorry. Okay. There's no aninos, there's no tumah, there's also no avelos, meaning it's not considered a relationship. After gerushin, obviously there's no relationship, they're divorced. During erushin, there's a legal technical relationship, but there's no close relationship. They're not family yet, they're just legally bound. And the main chiddush isto psula, if he marries a grusha, then since halachically he shouldn't have married her, even though the kedushin's toface, that relationship doesn't count. Likewise, she has no chiyuv of tuma. She always has a heter, and she has no chiyuv of aninus or avelus for him. When is a posel woman not count as a relative? He marries her because he married her be'isser, so it doesn't count. But if his other relatives are posel, then that counts. They're still related to him, right? So if his mother is a chalala, no veto. Basically, what if his sister is a chalala? Right? What if his brother's a chalal? Right? Then it doesn't matter. Then he's still matame to all of them because they're blood relatives. The isser is only a problem when he did the isser by marrying her for the wife. All the other relatives, even if they're chalalim, he's still related to them. The levno vito de kimle chakolo chadashav, and for his kids, but only if we're sure that they're full term. Where they lived at least 30 days, which proves that they were bar kayama. But if they lived less than 30 days, lo aleinu, and we're not sure they're full term, then they might be considered a premature birth, which is really considered a miscarriage in Eiffel, and therefore, if they're not a person, he's not matami to them. Afilu him psulim, his kids, even if they're pusel. Again, all other relatives is blood. It doesn't matter if they're kosher or pusel. It's only the wife that makes a difference, because that's only because he married her. And if he shouldn't have married her, then we don't sanction that. Unless they're his kids from a shifcha or a non-Jewish woman, because then halachically he's not related to them. The same would apply to his brother and sister, the Shach says, right? Because when a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman have a baby, then the Jewish man's not related. Okay, so that's obvious, but just common sense. But that's only his paternal brother, who has the same father. But if his brother and sister have a different father and the same mother, then that's not as close a relation, and he's not matami for them. And also, that means only if she's still in the family house and she's a basula. So if she had Arison with someone else, even if she's a basula, she left the family house, the miktas, and he's not metamid her. Afilu he a rusula kohen, even she's a rusula kohen. Lola nusa mafuta, and not to his sister who is no longer a virgin, right? Whether it's ones mafata, whatever the case may be, if she's not a basula anymore, he's not metamid her. Aval metame, right? Laachoso. Arusa shenizgarsha. But if she's a basula and she had Arison and then got divorced from the Arison, then he's matame to her because she rejoined the family home. However, the Yenosa Kel on the bottom say, if she had Nisuin and then Gerushin, then whenever a woman had Nisuin, she's becheskas ba'ula, regardless of what we think actually happened. And therefore, she's not a basula and he's not matame to her. Ubogeris mukaseit, bogeris mukaseit, even though bogeris, the basulim wear off, and mukas eight. Means the basulim were artificially removed. She has no longer, she doesn't have physical basulim anymore, but it doesn't matter. If she never slept with a man, she's still a basula for these purposes. And he's metame for Shomeris Yavam, right? Meaning his brother died without kids and his brother's wife is waiting for him to do Yibam. Then he's metame to her, even though she's not his wife yet. And this is a funny halacha. this is seems to be a takana drabbanan. How can the rabbanan make a takana these matamid her? The answer is since he inherits her at this point, therefore no one else cares about her but him, so she's like a mace mitzvah. And they made a low plug, and that's what the machaber says. Even if he doesn't inherit her, and it's written in her ksuba that her father inherits her, it doesn't matter. He's matamid to his shomeres yavam. It's interesting to note that I saw in one of the give me half a second. Okay, I'm not finding my notes now. Okay, let's leave it. This is a very fundamental hakira. He's metame for them, even if not necessary. The yesh omrim. Hold on, just make sure I didn't forget anything in Dalid. No, okay, there are more discussions, but we needn't get into it now. The yesh omrim davka lutzorech. Okay, what's this machlokas? This is a fundamental machlokas. Rishonim, who wants to give me two famous Lumdish words that would explain this fundamental machlokas Rishonim?
Hotra dechuya.
Exactly. Is Tumas Kohanim for his Krovim hotra or dechuya? Rashi says explicitly in in Brachos Dafchaf, he says. yeah. He's talking about Mace Mitzvah. Lav covered our brios who did dochi lo sasa dida. It's not that the covered our brios of Beri is dochi lo sasa, says Rashi and Brachos daf chaf. Let's read on. Demei akar chenikta lo sasa toma lo Mace Mitzvah nechtav. No, it's chutra. When the Torah said there's a lav for coin to be nitma, originally that lav never applied to Mace Mitzvah. And what's his proof? Just like obviously that lav was never said about krovim, says Rashi, the lav was never said about krovim. The Torah never said a kohen shouldn't be nitma, and then, but for a karov that overrules it. No, the Torah said originally a kohen shouldn't be nitma to a rachok, but the Torah never asked tumah to krovim. So therefore, that's hotra, as opposed to the Rambam, who very, very clearly, quite a few places. All over Hilchas Avel, especially Perik Beis of Hilchas Avel. I will read you how explicit it is. Kama chamura mitzvahs of El Avelos, sharei kohen nidchis lo atoma b'nei krovav. Because Avelos is such a big mitzvah, it's docha the isra of Tomas Kohanim, because she is asking mami sa'avol aleyem. So that he was shooting sa'avol v'sasek. The Rambam and others hold dechuya very explicitly. Rashi and others hold hutra very explicitly. What's the nafkamina of hutra or dechuya? Nafkamina is if it's dechuya, then it should only be when necessary. If it's hutra, then it should be even if it's not necessary. I know you could complicate this, especially according to the funny sheet of the Rambam, but we're not getting into that now. And that's l'chor what underlies this machlokas. The first day it holds that it's hutra. No, they just, the lav was never said about krovim. The second day it holds, no, it's only dechuya, only if necessary. What do you mean by necessary? So the achronim write, it doesn't mean there's no one else who could do it. That's called meis mitzvah, not krovim. It means that someone needs to do something. Then the Torah said the relative should do it, and that's docha tomas kohanim. There's someone. It doesn't mean there's no one else to do it. It just means if someone needs to do it, then it's nice for the relative to do it, and that's docha tomas. That's docha tomas kohanim. This is explicit in the Chachmas Adam. Even if someone else could do it, it's a mitzvah for the karov to be misasked with his mace, and that's docha tomas kohanim. Says the Rama, Ulasfari Shona Filo Mesel Mace Bashabashi Eftral Karboy Yom Shari Latamas Lul Sharma Kadesh Lamutal Bizayo. According to the first svar, even if there's no Tzorah, so even if it's Shabbos and you can't do anything, the coin could still sit in the house with the mace and guard the mace so that it won't be Bizayo. But according to the second day, and that's Usr, because that's not really called the Tzorah. What's the Psak? The Mechaber would imply that the Psak is like the first opinion, because it's Stam B'yei Shomrim. What did the Rama say? V'nochem l'hachmir k'svar achrona. Shalol l'tamos rak l'tzor k'fur l'havi l'orban takrichem. The Rama thinks that maybe me'ikor din you could be mekel, but the proper practice is to be machmir and not to be metame unless the tzorech. What's the tzorech? For k'vura and to bring him orban takrichem with tzorche k'vura. This is a big machlokas out of Yom HaZeh because the Nekudas HaKesef, very short Nekudas HaKesef says here, the widespread minhag is that it's hutra against the Rama. The Rama says nochel lahachmir, and the Shach says nope, no nochel lahachmir. It's heter gummer. Halach lamaisa ad hayom hazeh. It's not 100% clear. However, I think that most achronim, the Chachmas Adam and others, paskin like the Rama against the Nekudas HaKesef. Paskin like the Rama against the Nekudas HaKesef that it is the that it's nachon lahachmir that it's the chuya, and therefore the kohen shouldn't be nitma unless there's a tzorech. However, since it's only a nachon lahachmir, therefore we have a very liberal, expansive view of what is called a tzorech. So, for example, the Pesachim Tshuvos have gotten dalid quotes from the Derech HaChayim, which is the Nesivos, that says on a weekday, just sitting near the mace is a tzorech, because you never know when you might have to take care of something. Okay, obviously going to the funeral is a tzorech, right? So we're pretty makel on the geder of tzorech. But nonetheless, we say nachal lahachmer that it's only lit tzorech. So here we have the heter of Lekrovim, filu shalol letzorech, which would come from the idea of hutra, or rak letzorech, which would come from the idea of dechuya. This is what the Mechaber implies. He says that estam is opposed to yesh omrim, and this is what the Shach holds. Then no, we hold it like the first day. However, says the Rama, and the majority of Achronim, it's Nachon Lahachmir, like the second day. However, since it's only a Nachon Lahachmir, therefore, we're only Machmir a little. We're not really Machmir that unless it's totally, absolutely necessary, the Kohen can't go there. We're Machmir that unless there's something called a tzorech, he can't go there. But if there's something called a tzorech, then that is mutter. And what's called a tzorech? Even just being around on a weekday is called a tzorech. So basically, the only thing we end up being machmer on is Shabbos, which is the Rama says we're machmer on. And I guess, let's say you know that there's nothing's going to come up. Let's say the mace is in a morgue and it's all sealed away and whatever you need to do, you're not doing at the morgue. You're doing, you know, in the office or over the phone with the Chevra Gadish in the funeral parlor, etc. So we'd be machmir, there's mamish no tzorech. But that's only by the time the Achronim get through with it, only on Shabbos or if the dead body's in the morgue and there's nothing that needs to be taken care of, but if there's something, if it's a weekday, let's say the Cohen's relative died at home, and it's a weekday, they're waiting for the medical examiner, for the police, whoever comes, I don't know, they're waiting for the Chevra Kadisha, etc., the Cohen could stay in the house. That's called Litzorech, because things might come up, and we call that Litzorech. Only if it's Shabbos, that's not called Litzorech, because on Shabbos, nothing could come up, because you don't call the police on Shabbos, and you don't call the Chevra Kadisha on Shabbos, and there's nothing that could possibly come up. Or, once the mace is taken to the Chevra Kadisha, then it's usher until the funeral, but the funeral is Litzorech, because you have to go to the funeral and accompany him to his burial. Effie.
Just trying to achieve this Rashi, how far does he take that? Like, can a Kohen, even after the mace is buried, the Kohen can go to that kever? Like, there's no Isra Latame afterwards?
That's a fascinating question. It seems that it's Machlokas Tana in that case. But it seems like no Tana holds there's a heter forever. So Rashi would have to say that no, it's Hutra for the Karov, but he's only called the Karov, until Stimas HaGolel. Then already he's not called the Karov, he's called, the Mace or something. Rashi would have to somehow deal with it. Or maybe Rashi would say Midoraisa, you can go to the cemetery as much as you want. It's only Chumra Darabana not to go afterwards. I don't know, it's a good question. I have to think about that. But unless you just want to say Rashi means, except for a visible Karov or something like that.
And the same thing would be about like Avram and Achai from his Karov, right?
No, because that's not called a Karov. That's called an Aver of a Karov. So I think Rashi would admit. So you're right. For Rashi, his Hutra, you'd have to say, it's not that it was only Usser for Krovim. It's that for Rechokim. It's that it was Usser except for a real Karov. And a real Karov is only someone who's might be dead, but above ground and complete. Okay. Now, there's another nafkini of this Hutra Dechuya, which is discussed in the Pesachei Tshuva Sifkatan, the two classic nafkinis, Hutra Dechuya, the Pesachei Tshuva Sifkatan Aleph, quotes this very very clever chumra of the Veshav HaKohen. What do you mean very clever? Like, it's perfectly logical, even though it doesn't make common sense. Right? But it's perfectly logical. Says the Veshav HaKohen in Pesachei Tshuva Sifkatan Aleph, he says like this, hold on a second. If it's the Chuya, what if a 10-year-old Katan's father dies? The Isser to bring him to the funeral is an Isser Daraisa. But the Chiyov for him to be Miss Abel and bury his father is only Mishum Chinuch Drabanan. Or better yet, what if a 2-year-old Kohen's father dies? The Isser to bring him to the funeral is an Isser Daraisa, like we said, Sif Aleph. But he has no Chiyov whatsoever to be Miss Abel and Miss Asik with his father. Therefore, there's nothing to be docha. A katan is pater for mitzvah, so there's no dechia. That's the nafkamina of the, what's the other nafkamina? Shem meis lo meis. If it's hutra, then it's much of him to go to the funeral. Because it's Hutra. But if it's only Dechuya, then it's also to bring him to the funeral. Because bringing him to the funeral is an Isser Doraisa of Amor V'Yomarta L'Hazer G'dolim Al-Ketanim Safinim B'Yadayim. And there's no dechia because he's pachur for mitzvah, so there's no mitzvah to be dochek because he's a katan. That's the conclusion of the Veshav HaKohen in this Pesachei Tshuva. The Minchas Chinuch also, if I recall correctly, also comes to a similar conclusion. That's what he says. He says, you hold like the Rambam, that it's Mishum Dechuya, Then, if he goes by himself, of course you don't have to tell him to go home. It's good chinuch for him to go. Because chinuch is to practice what he'll do when he's an adult, and when he's an adult, he'll have to go. But you can't bring him biyadayim because you're doing an issur d'oraisa, and there's nothing to be docha that issur d'oraisa. That is a big chiddush of the Shabbat Kohen, although it does seem to make sense. If it's dechuya, then it's not dechuya for this kid because there's no mitzvah to be docha. Okay, big machlokes, do we hold like this chumra of the Shabbat Kohen or not? Remember, he doesn't say it's usher for the kid to go to the funeral. No, if the kid goes on his own, that's fine. He's not doing an issur d'oraisa, so he doesn't need a dechuya. But it's usher for you to bring the kid to the funeral because that is an issur d'oraisa and there's no mitzvah to be docha because he's pater for mitzvos. This is very controversial. Do we hold like this for Shabbat Kohen or do we not hold like this? V'shava Kohen. It's a tremendous machlokas achronim. Basically, all the achronim are split 50-50 on whether we hold like this v'shava Kohen or we don't hold like this v'shava Kohen. L'chor, if it depends on Hutra Dechuya, then the psak for this v'shava Kohen should be the same psak as in Sifhei. And therefore, what should we paskin? Meaning every achron is a different sheet. And as you can imagine, even though I say it's the same as Sifhei, you could always make chilukin. But in general, we think if it's only mutter l'tzorech, it's dechuya, and then there's no dichoy for a katan because he's pacha for mitzvos. If it's mutter shelo l'tzorech, it's hotra, and if it's hotra even for a katan. So, what did the Gesher Achayim paskin in the end? The Gesher Achayim paskins in the end. Every posik says something different here. Says it paskins of the end that matches what the Ramah paskins in Sifhei. He says it's better not to actively bring a Kohen Katan to his relative's funeral, if possible, you know, unless it's absolutely necessary for some reason. Basically, in different words, he says, Nachon Lahachmir. And that is the Halacha L'maisa. Halacha L'maisa, that if you have a Katan who is young, when does this come up? If the Katan is 11 years old, if he wants to go on his own, he'll go on his own. If he wants to go on his own, he's allowed to. Because there's no issur d'oraisa for him to go on his own. You don't need a dechiya for that. It's only an issur d'oraisa for you to bring him. If he wants to go on his own, fine. But if it's a little katan, a little kohen, who doesn't want to go on his own, is not big enough to go on his own, then you really shouldn't bring him. You really shouldn't bring him. Let's say you have a baby, right? Lo aleinu, the baby's father dies. Very sad. Often, if you have a little baby, you might bring it. If it was a yisra, lo aleinu, a little baby and the father died, you might bring the baby to the funeral. Where are you going to leave the baby? You might not. Probably better not. He'll disturb. But okay, whatever people feel like. You respect people's feelings. But if there's a baby Kohen, then it's really better to not bring him to his relative's funeral. For sure, you can't bring him to his grandfather's funeral. That's Pasha. That's not one of the Shiva Krovim. But even Lo Aleinu to his father or his brother or his mother's funeral, you shouldn't bring him because of this Veshava Kohen that there's no Dechiyah. So therefore, we paskin that it is better to be machmir. Of course, you have to have a lot of sensitivity in these cases. Because the family feels a certain way. You know, if it's only a nachon lahachmir, you have to have a lot of sensitivity towards people's feelings. I would say the klal, whenever it's nachon lahachmir, you have to have sensitivity towards people's feelings. Some things don't have to do with feelings. You know, whether to go to the Museum of Natural History is not necessarily an issue of feelings, but when someone died in the family, you should always be sensitive to people's feelings. But assuming you're sensitive to people's feelings, you just want to know what the right thing to do is, it is proper to be machmir lemaisa, we would say. Nachal machmir. Excuse me. Like that opinion. So those are the two main afkaminas of Hutra Dechuya. Effie.
What count does bringing him to whatever? Like if you drive him to the parking lot, you know he's going to follow you on your way in. Is that bringing him or really only if you mamish bring him?
Pashtus, if you drive him to the parking lot, that's not bringing him. Only if you mamish bring him. Only if you mamish bring him. Meaning in Hilchos Shabbos also, if you put the kid baby down in a room where there's mukta toys, that's not giving him biyadayim. Only if you give him the toy. So, therefore, halacha lemaisa, if the Kohen's is 8, 9, 10, 11, and he really wants to go to his close relative's funeral, then he's really going to go on his own. Even if you drive him to the parking lot, he's going on his own. No one's holding his hand and bringing him in. Even if someone holds his hand, he's walking on his own. But if you're talking about a younger Kohen, then it's best to leave them home. Okay, there's different sheets of psychology. What's best anyway for little kids? but Lamaisa, okay, that's important to know. It could come up especially with babies. The baby doesn't care. No one cares. The baby's in the carriage. And the relatives might think, ah, well, it's the baby's Shiva Krovim, so why not wheel the carriage, you know, into the funeral parlor or over the grave, etc. So if they want to, they want to rely on, but it's proper to tell them, no, 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 keep the baby carriage outside the tumah, etc. Okay, Se'if Vav. Se'if Vav Taka might or might not also depend on Hutru D'chuya, not so clear, right? But in any case, L'chor not, because me'ikar din we paskin like the Hutra side and the other nafkaminas, and here me'ikar din we paskin at Shiyistam HaGolel. So, well, let's see what I mean. Ein ha'tam le'mez Shiyistam HaGolel. Machlokas tanam we paskin the heter of Tumas only till the Golel is closed. That would work well for Dechuya. When the Golel is closed, the mitzvah of Kfur is done, and there's no more Dechuya. But you could say even for Hutra. The Hutra is only for the unburied relative, for the present relative, not for the hidden relative. Only for the, I'd say better, Effie. To use halachic terminology, even for Hutra, we can explain why we paskin this way. You know, if I was giving a Gemara Shiar, I would just say, ah, if it's the Chuyah, we'll paskin Yistam HaGolel. If it's Hutra, we'll paskin like the other day in the Tanayim. But we paskin Yistam HaGolel, so if it's the Chuyah, that makes sense. No more mitzvah. Even if it's a Hutra, you could say, the Hutra is not for any Karov, it's for a Karov Shemuta Lefanov. And we know the Gedra of Muta Lefanov is actually Yistam HaGolel. Because Bafanov is a different experience than Shlomo Bafanov. Okay, Vim Daito Lefanoto, Muta Latam Lotor Shiyasim Golo Sheni. If you bury him originally having in mind to move him, then until you move him to the second place in Yistam HaGolel, it's not considered Stimas HaGolel. So, for example, if someone died of coronavirus now, and they buried him in New Jersey, having in mind to move him to Israel, where he bought a plot in Eretz Yisrael after coronavirus ends, then the Kohen can go to the second, the Kohanim first to be relatives can go to the second funeral when they bring him to Eretz Yisrael if they want. I mean, they probably won't just socially nowadays, they usually don't, but they can, because it's not really Stimas HaGolel until you bury him where you intended to bury him. Okay, what is a Golel? Remember, we mentioned earlier there's a Machlokas what a Golel is, so there's a little Chazara here. About Golel, remember, there are only two opinions in the Achronim. I told you in some Gaonim, not the Gaonim here, there's a third opinion, that it means the rock that they used to block the entrance to the cave, but that's not, they didn't have caves in Shulchan Aruch, so no one takes that into account. The two main opinions are Rashi versus, okay, I said Tosos, Rebbeinu Tam, they call it sometimes. Etc. So, what are the two main opinions? What's a golel? Says Rashi. Kisoy ha'aron. By the way, stimas ha'golel is important for non-kohanim. That's when avelo starts, when there's stimas ha'golel. Right? And says Ravenu Tam. Nope. It means the even with Sion, right? Sion meaning as a sign, right? Within Rashi, the Shach points out there's two different ways of understanding Rashi. What did Rashi mean? The Ramban and the Tur understood Rashi in a very radical way. Lefi the Ramban and the Tur, Afilu Babayis. If you're in the Chevra Kadisha building and you put him in a coffin and put the lid on the coffin, that's Stimas HaGolel. In which case, for Rashi, Stimas HaGolel is very early. It's before the funeral. However, we're not choshish for that. According to the Shach, Stimas HaGolel means no, only in the ground. Meaning, if you cover the coffin in the ground, because they used to cover the coffin after they put it in the ground, or if you cover the coffin and then put it in the ground, in which case it's very, very similar. It's very, very similar to the to the Shita of it's very similar to the Shita of Ravenu Tam. It just when you first start covering with dirt, or when you finish covering with dirt and put a little pebble on it. But it's very, very, very similar, as you can imagine. Hold on, give me half a second. Later on in Siman Shin Ayin Hey, the Beis Yosef quotes a shita of the Gaonim that it's only in the ground. Okay, so the Fi the Shach, what Rashi meant is only in the Karka, in which case, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are not that different. We are Machmir, Halacha L'maisa, like Rashi, but only like the Shach's version of Rashi. If they close him up in a coffin, outside in a building, that's not Stimas Hagolo. The Kohen could still attend the rest of the funeral. But once they put him in the ground, like in America, once they put the coffin in the ground, now he's covered in the ground, no more Heter. In Israel, once they put him in the ground and then put bricks over him, no more Heter. That's Stimas Hagolo. There's no more Heter. Okay, Viter.
So if then the Kohen needs to leave right when that happens?
Then the Kohen needs to, exactly. As soon as they cover him up, in Eretz Yisrael, they put bricks on top. As soon as they put bricks on top, the Kohen has to leave. Lemaisa, what does that mean usually? I guess it means the Kohen has to go Dalet Amos away from the Kever. The Kohen has to be Marchik Dalet Amos from the Kever at that point, because now that there's no more Heter, he has to be Marchik Dalet Amos from a Kever. Correct. Zion. This is a tremendous Machlokas Rishonim. What's the tremendous Machlokas Rishonim? Is there a Heter for a Kohen to be Nitma? Yes, Yoni.
Sorry, just on that last point, Rabbi said that Rabbeinu Tam holds that Evelyn Matzeva would just be even a little pebble, not a full Matzeva.
So you'll see this more in the Torah Beis Yosef and Shinai and Hay, that the here Rabbeinu Tam doesn't say so clearly, but in Shinai and Hay, if you look in Torah Beis Yosef, they assume. What do you mean nowadays you put the Matzeva up 12 months later in some places or a month later? That's ridiculous. I mean, Tom's not going to say, because there's no Avelos, there's no Shiva till Stimas Hagolo. You're going to say there's no Shiva till you put on the Matzeva? That's ridiculous. Obviously, what Rabbeinu Tam meant is that at the time, you would put a rock there just so you won't forget where the grave was. So really, I think Rabbeinu Tam means when you finish filling in the grave, even if it's not a rock, I'm sure that, what do they do nowadays? Something called Tzuras HaKever. The Chevra Kadisha's Machbed, that when they finish filling the whole grave, they put extra dirt to make a little mound to show that that's where the Kever is. So that would count for Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam just means when you finish filling in the grave and you make sure that everyone can see where it is. It doesn't dafka have to be a headstone. It just means anything you put on above the level ground to show that there's a grave there. I think that's an obvious svara. And if you don't believe my svara, look in Shinai and Hay in the Beis Yosef. But you have to leave my svara, otherwise you put on the Seva 12 months later. That's ridiculous. And then there's no Shiva till 12 months later. Can't be. It means you finish burial. Just Rashi's version of finishing burial is, according to the Shach, that he's in the ground and covered. That's finishing burial. And the rest is just to be extra good. And Rabbi Nathan says, no, he's not finished being buried till all the ground is filled in. And even then you didn't finish burial, because how can you bury someone in the ground and then not know where he is? Right, as soon as it rains, you won't know where he is. So you have to put something extra to show that he's there. And that's the finishing of burial. But I think that's obvious. Okay. The big question is, if a Kohen is already Tameh, is there an Isra on him becoming doubly Tameh? Right? That's the right we discussed. Is there an Isra on a Kohen doubling his Tumah? And there are four shitas about this in the Rishonim. Right? How about, right, being metame? To a second mace. I don't mean his two relatives died. He's burying his father. Can he also be metame to a stranger? Meaning, once he's tame. What do we say? There are three main shitas about this. What are the three main shitas? Says the Rambam, Usser, even simultaneously. Okay, we're not going to the Rias and the Sugyas. They're conflicting Sugyas. The question is how we paskin. Even simultaneously, even while he's carrying his father's coffin, he can't also touch another mace. That's the Rambam Shita. The heter is only for his father's coffin, not for another mace. The second Shita, which is the Ramban and the Rush, and I would add the Ravid, one of the Achronim says the Ravid and Tmim Deim. You don't have to get out the Sefer Tmim Deim. I happen to own the Sefer Tmim Deim. But the Ravid and Tmim Deim is what's printed. I mean, it's more than that, but they mean what's printed in our standard Vilna Shas as the Hasagas Ravid on the bottom of the Rif, right? Rambam Verush, and I'll add the Ravid on the Rif, right? That's not found in the Torah in the Beis Yosef, etc. They didn't have a copy of this. Only the later Achronim had a copy. Now everyone does. They put in the Vilna Shas under the Rif. The Rambam says no. That simultaneously, it's mutter. Avokavon shepiresh usher. Simultaneous with being nitma to his father, it's mutter. Right? While he's in the funeral parlor at his father's funeral, it's okay if there's another mace in the funeral parlor also. But once he's poresh, meaning let's say he steps out of the funeral parlor, now he's not in the OL of his father, now he's chayiv malchus if he touches another mace. Or let's say he buried his father and he takes a step back from the kever. If he steps on another kever, he's chayiv malchus. Rabbeinu Tam is even more mekel. Says Rabbeinu Tam, no, kol oso hayom is mutter. Lamachar is usser. What's the svaras? I'll tell you the svaras. The Rambam svara is all tome is usser regardless. Even if you have a heter for your father, you don't have a heter for a stranger. What's the Ramban and the Rush svara? No, only adding tome is a problem. If you're touching your father and a stranger at the same time, it doesn't add any tome. But once he walked away from his father, now even on the same day, if he touches another mace, he adds Toma to himself. How does he add Toma to himself? He's an avatoma from his father. If he leaves his father and touches another mace, he's still an avatoma. The answer is, when he left his father, he was an avatoma, but if he touched the kli would become a rishon. When he touches the other mace, if he touches a kli while he's touching the other mace, that kli becomes an av. That's called Tumah B'chiburim, meaning while he's in contact with the mace, he can make a Kli an Av. When he leaves contact with the mace, he can only make a Kli a Rishon. Therefore, he's adding Tumah by touching a new mace, because now he makes what he touches, a Kli he touches an Av. Rabbi Nutan says, that's not called adding Tumah. Well, you know what's called adding Tumah? The whole day, it's not adding Tumah. Why? Because that whole day, if Mashiach came tomorrow, he would be Tameh for 7 days. But then on the eighth day, he'd be Tahar. And therefore, if he touched another mace, he's still Tameh for 7 days. But the next day, he's adding Tumah. Because if Mashiach came, he'd be Tahar in 7 days. And now if Mashiach comes, he'll only be Tahar in 8 days. Right? He adds an extra day of Tumah. Let's say on Sunday was his father's funeral. If Mashiach comes, he can be Tahar in Matzei Shabbos. But if he, and even if he touched another mace on Sunday, he's not adding. If Mashiach comes, he'll still be Tahar in Matzei Shabbos. But if he touched the mace on Monday, now even if Mashiach comes, he can't be Tahar until Sunday night. And therefore, he's adding a day of Tumah. The Shita of the Ravid on the Rambam, the famous Ravid that everyone knows. Is that nope? Any Kohen who is Tameh is maybe mutter to touch another mace, because once he's tummy, it's not adding. Although, of course, the Dogma Rebbe says, maybe he just means putter, not mutter. Putter me malkos. This is questionable. Okay, so we have up to four shitas. Let's review the four shitas. And the bottom three shitas are all the same principle, just applying it differently. The Rambam says, it's usher to contact a mace even if you're not adding tumah. The other three shitas say, no, it's only usher to add tumah to yourself. But they have three different definitions of what's called adding tumah. The Ravid says it's only called adding tumah if you weren't tumah yet. Once you're tumah, that's not adding tumah. The Rabbi Tam says it's called adding Tumah to add more days if Mashiach would come. Therefore, on a new day, you're adding Tumah. On the same day, you're not adding Tumah. And the Ramban and the Rush say it's called adding Tumah to be in contact with the mace when you used to not be in contact with the mace. Because when you're mechuber to the mace, you have one aspect of more tumma than when you're not mechuber, which is if I touch the mace a second ago and let go, then if I touch hammer, it is a then if I touch a pot, it's a rishon. If I put on a coat, it's a rishon. But if I'm still touching a mace, if I put on a coat, it's an av. And therefore, I'm adding tumah to myself. So they have different dargas, what's called adding tumah, right? It says only adding tumah from not tumah to tumah is usur. Maybe, if that's what he means. Rabbi Tam says adding another day of tumas mace is usur. The Ramban Rush says adding the ability to have heightened transmission is usur. So if I left my father, if Cohen left his father's funeral and went to the outdoors, if he then goes into the room of another funeral, now if he touches a coat, it would become an av, and therefore he added tumah. And the Rambam says, I don't care about adding. I disagree with your premise. Everything's usur. Isaac.
I mean, so certainly for the maybe Rabbi Al Rambam, but also for Rabbi Yutam, there'd be no nafkamina for the whole stimat hagolel, you know, ending the heter to touch the, to be matamit to the father?
The nafkamina would be tomorrow, correct, no. According to Rabbi Yutam. Meaning, Rabbi Yutam would say, yeah, the nafkamina is now, tomorrow, there's an isser. Oh. Correct. Correct. Now, how do we paskin? Right? Remember, now you see already what a minority sheet of this Raivit is, right? He's against pretty much everyone, minakotze alakotze, and he contradicts himself in two different books he wrote, and we're not even sure what he meant in that book. That's why it's hard to be so much too much on this Raivit. Now, you can't deny that it's something, but it's hard to call it something substantial. Okay, says the Shulchan Aruch, also the Kohen l'stami l'meis afil be'eshem itami l'krovav. It's also a Kohen to be nitma l'meis, even while he's being metame to his krovim. Therefore, if a kohen's relative dies, he has to bury him at the edge of the cemetery. You ever notice this? If you go to cemeteries, kohanim are always at the edge, not in the middle. Why? Because if they're in the middle, you have to walk over other people's graves. And if they're at the edge, you don't have to walk over other people's graves. So the Mechaber holds like the Rambam. Not so surprising, right? Mechaber likes the Rambam. He says, even while he's burying his father, he's not letting Nitman anyone else. Therefore, while the Kohen's walking with his father's coffin, he can't step on another grave. That's why you have to bury the Kohanim at the edge of the cemetery. However, what does the Ramah say? Says the Ramah, V'davka la'achar shepiresh mimeso v'obo ochu osek v'meso motuli tamos aflacherem. No, the Ramah passes like the Ramban and the Rosh. No, it's only after he stops touching his father that it's a problem. But while he's touching his father, to also walk on another grave is not a problem. Like the Ramban and the Rosh, no one holds like Rabbeinu Tam. I know Chassam Sofer in a case of a chol and a goy wanting a tzar for Rabbeinu Tam. Fine. And no one holds like the Raven. By the way, according to the Ramah, Halacha l'maisa, the Ramah and the Mechaber have no nafkamina in terms of where to bury the Kohen. The Ramah would also say you have to bury the Kohen at the edge of the cemetery. Why? He'd say it's fine to walk over other graves on the way to burying the father, but on the way back, he can't walk over other graves. So l'maisa, you still have to bury the Kohen at the edge of the cemetery. Bein the Mechaber, bein the Ramah, you have to bury the Kohen at the edge. The Mechaber, because on the way to the burial, it's an isser. And the Ramah says on the way to the burial is fine, but how do you get home from the burial? And it's an Isra on the way home from the burial. So the Maisa, they both agree, both Sfardim and Ashkenazim, bury Kohanim at the edge of the cemeteries. The Shachir quotes a Machlok Sachron about this. He says the Bach is Machmir, and the Madani Melech is Mekel. The Madani Melech is the bottom of the rush. Right, what do we call it? The Divrei Chamudos and the Madana Yontif. Right, Madana Yontif on the bottom of the rush. So here, the Bach goes with the Mechaber. The Madana Melech Right. Remember, I mentioned this once here. We don't know. No one knows why he changed the name of his book. Goes here. The Lavush, the Ateres Zav says Nachum Lahachmir, goes a little bit in the goes a little bit in the middle. Halacha Lemaisa, it is a big machlokas. It's not clear what the Shach thinks about this. Halacha Lemaisa, it is a big machlokas. Says the Lavush, that's the Ateres Zav. He says in between. Halacha l'maisa, it's probably good to be machmir, even for Ashkenazim, for Sfardim, Pashut. Even for Ashkenazim, it's good to be machmir on this, like the Mechaber, and therefore it's proper to be machmir, and the Kohen should not be nitma to a non-relative, even while he's touching his relative. After he stops touching or being in the room with his relative, Pashut, he shouldn't be nitma to someone else. But even while he's with his relative, he shouldn't be nitma to someone else. However, here's an important point. That the Shelitz Yabit says, it's quoting the Geser Achayim. The Shelitz Yabit says, this is all if it's not necessary, if you have another option. However, if it's necessary, then everyone agrees that it's mutter at the same time. For example, let's say the Kohen wants to go to his father's funeral, and there's another dead body in the funeral parlor at the same time, and they don't want to remove it. Then the only way to go to his father's funeral is to also be in the ohel with the other dead body. Then it's okay, because that's necessary. The machlokas only if it's not necessary. But if it's necessary, then we are mekel at the same time. So even if you say nachon lahachmir, but lemaisa, well, actually, I shouldn't put it there. I'm not necessarily the Rabban and the Rush would admit, but we would admit Fod Meso, who says that? That's the Shelitz Yabetz of Yaakov Emden. If you want to find it, you can look in the Gesher Chaim. He says, so for example, let's say the Kohen, good example, let's say the Kohen has to go to the morgue to identify his father to allow the burial. But in the morgue, there are other dead bodies, even other dead Jews. Then that's okay, because it's necessary for Kavanah Meis. Let's say the Kohen has to guard his father during a weekday. He has to do important things, and there's other dead bodies around, then it's mutter for tzorich, it's mutter. But shalom l'tzorich, he should not be nitman to another mace, even while he's being nitman to his father. And for sure, according to all achronim, not all rishonim, not rabbeinu tam, and the ravid, sagos, but according to all achronim, after he stops touching his father, pashut, there's no heter to touch, or to be in a room, under a roof, with another mace. Okay. Let's just finish up the simon. Kohen shepirshu avosav midarke tzibur. If you go and have a soros, eino mitame lahem. A Kohen, by the way, this you could also see as a machlokes of hutra dechuya, right? What if his father's a Russia? If it's dechuya, so there's no mitzvah to mechabit a Russia. But if it's hutra, then it's still his father. Halacha lemaisa, interestingly, halacha lemaisa, we, even though we seem to lean more towards the Hutra side, Me'ikar Adin, we're still machmer in this. And we have to say that, no, this is a special rule that a Rasha and maybe it's only a rule Midrabanan, that a Rasha is mufka from the relationship of Korba. Kohen Shapirsha Vosav, well, at least Lenin Zeh. Kohen Shapirsha Vosav and Dachin Tzibar. Kohen, his father's left ways of the Tzibar, means they went off the Derech, going on a Soros, or they're Masrers, they've given Jews to the Goyim and betray the Jewish people, even if they're Orthodox Jews. Ein Metamid Lehem, there's no Heter Tum if the father's a Rasha. Basically, if the father's such a Rasha that there's no Avelus, that's Mafkiya the Kurva, and there's no Tumma. Velola Ruge Bezdin, likewise for Ruge Bezdin, Velola Misha Amidus Ola Das, or suicides. Again, in theoretical sense, we already discussed this. Here's interesting. Even though we try to lean towards being makel to call everyone not a suicide and sit shiva for them anyway, okay, that's because sitting shiva is, not a terrible thing to do anyway. But here we're talking about Issa D'Oraisa. Here we would not lean to heter. Let's say we know the guy really committed suicide. We just say, he was mentally ill. We don't know for sure. Maybe he slipped on a banana peel and fell off the building. We know he was planning to jump off the roof, but maybe he slipped, et cetera. All these excuses, these are excuses to let the family sit shiva. But they're not excuses for Tumas Kohanim. You can't make an excuse to be Matar Nisha Doraisa. If he's the Ma'abed Atzmo L'das, maybe that's an Nisha Doraisa, because it's Mafkia the Kurva if he's a Rasha. And therefore, Halacha L'maisa, a rabbi would have to finesse this situation. If someone committed suicide and they're a Kohen, the relatives can't go to the funeral. But they're embarrassed, etc. So the rabbis would have to figure out some clever way to finesse it to, have the relatives not go to the funeral without embarrassing them. Okay, and we'll leave that up to the rabbi to figure out how to do. And likewise for not from. Right, nowadays, we always try to say Tinuk Shanishba and this and that, right? Someone's parents aren't from. So we tell them still said Shiva, Tinuk Shanishba. Yeah, but it's hard to be Matar and Isidore Raisa because of Tinuk Shanishba. Especially since not everyone's mom is a Tinuk Shanishba, you know? I don't know, someone's brother went to Shanabet in KBY and then went off the Derech. So we come up with all kinds of excuses to sit Shiva for him anyway, Lo Aleinu, if he dies. But to Tumas Kohanim? It's a little hard to be Matar Tumas Kohanim with all these made-up excuses. We make up excuses to sit Shiva for people. For Tumas Kohanim, we really have to be Machmer on this, and it requires a lot of thought to figure out how to finesse the situation and, you know, not make the family feel really, really bad and still be Machmer on Tumas Kohanim and not to make excuses to be Matar Tumas Kohanim. Okay, these are difficult situations. It's a difficult situation when it's one of these cases of Ma'abed Etzmo L'das or Pirush Midarkei Tzibur, and there's no Heter of Tumas Kohanim, but the family doesn't see it that way, and the family, you know, wants to treat him as a good Jew and a member of the family. Okay, it's one of these difficult situations. That's enough for now. Halach L'maisa, V'lola Suffik, Higon Shes Arif Vlad V'Vlad Chaverto, Suffik V'Antish L'Rishon V'Zan L'Achron, also not for Sveikos. For example, two babies got mixed up in the hospital. You don't know which one is your relative. Or a woman remarried, and she's not sure if her first husband of the father is the second husband of the father. Whenever there's a suffix in the relation, suffix derives l'chomer, there's no heter of Tumas Kohanim. Okay, the Pesachei Tshuva brings down a strange sheet of the Shut Beis Yaakov that no one agrees with, but we will just skip it. The Rabbi Kiva Eger also brings down a machlokas, whether a Talmud, who's a Kohen, is allowed to be a Talmud who is Rebbe, because a Rebbe's like a father. He says, L'maisa, we are Machmir. The Maisa were Machmir, a Talmud can't be Matami to his Rebbe, and Sveikos can't be Matami, for Risharim you can't be Matami. Sif test. This is a Chumr a lot of people don't know about, but it's a Pashat Halacha L'Maisa without any Machlokas. And this is also something that requires sensitivity because the family is not going to want to accept this so easily. Ein HaKoyim Matami L'Avram Nachayim Aviv. Okay, that part fine. The Koyim's not Matami L'Avram Nachayim his father, so it's not his father, it's only an Aver of his father. Okay, Peseder. As a matter of fact, a Kohen can't even mitami to an Eiver Menachayiv himself, right? So if a Kohen needs to cut off a limb of his body because of Pikuach Nefesh, they have to cut it off for Pikuach Nefesh, and then he's mitami for Pikuach Nefesh, but then they have to rush it out of the room as soon as possible. Belola etzmi atzmo sov, he can't be mitami for one bone of his father. Chinam alakin et samasim mitami lehem. Afal pisha shidra kayemes. And likewise, to gather the bones of the father, even if the whole skeleton is there, the whole rib cage is there, he's not mitami. Basically, the Kohen's only mitami to his relative, father's lavdavka, if the relative is complete. If it's a partial relative, he's not mitami. Whether it's an Eiver Menachai, whether it's a bone, whether it's a piece, or even if it's 99% of his relative. A Kohen's only mitami to 100% of his relative, not to 99% of his relative. This is a big chumra. We're not sure why, because the Chiv Kvura is on Rosh over Rubo of the relatives. On Rova, the relative at least has a Chiv Kvura. The svar seems to be that no, the kurva is only if the whole person's there. If part of the person's there, that is has a pagam in the kurva, and therefore there's no heter. Even if a little piece is missing from the relative, even if it's there next, the tip of the pinky finger got cut off and it's right there next to him. Nope, no heter of Tumas Kohanim. No heter of Tumas Kohanim. Okay, maybe the rabbi should lie and say this is the case when it's the suicide. And when it's the Russia, you know, and use that to finesse it. I don't know. Okay, you have to be careful lying. We're not getting into halachas of when it's wise to lie, when it's not now. You always have to think 8 times before lying. But if after 8 times it's the right thing to do, then you follow Hashem Yisbarach and Parshas Vayera. Only for a shalem, not for a chaser. The Yesh Omrim that that's only if after death or at the moment of death part of him got cut off. But let's say the Kohen's father was always missing a finger. And then he died, then that's okay because he's the same person as when he was alive. He's just as shulling as he was beforehand. So this actually is a common case. A lot of people, not so common, but some people lose parts of their body. I don't mean inside parts of the appendix. That everyone agrees we're makel about. I mean visible parts, right? There are people who lost a finger or a joint of a finger. There are people who blew off a, you know, they were in war, they lost a toe. These things happen to people. So if these things happen to people, you know, I mean, not that often, but accidents happen. If an accident happens and the guy always been missing one finger, I mean, born without it. I mean, he lost a finger in an accident and then he dies. Can his relatives be in time for him to say, Kohen? According to this Yesh Omrim, he can. But do we paschal like this Yesh Omrim or no? The first opinion is against this Yesh Omrim. This is a big machlokas whether or not we paschal like this Yesh Omrim. Lemaisa, there's one place in Egros Moshe, he sounds like he doesn't paschal like this Yesh Omrim. But most poskim paschal like this Yesh Omrim. Most posts can pass like the Yesh Omrim, the Chachmas Adam Paskin like the Yesh Omrim, or most of the modern day Sfarim, all the modern day Sfarim have seen pass like the Yesh Omrim. We all like the Yesh Omrim. So if the relative died and he's the same thing now as he was when he was alive, then the Kohen can go to the funeral. But if the relative died violently and lost a piece, or after the relative died, you know, the relative decomposed or got cut or, you know, and lost a piece, even if that piece is still there, but it's not attached anymore, then there's no heter of Tumas Kohanim. Which then means, basically what that means is, someone who died violently, the odds are the Kohanim can't go to the funeral, because he might have gotten a piece cut off. Someone who died and the body wasn't found right away and started to fall apart, the odds are the Kohen can't come to the funeral because a piece probably fell off. So these are important things. The Rama brings down a chumrah here. Yesh omer she'ina matami loharug demikri chaser v'nachum lahachmir. What's this chumrah? Someone who is killed violently, like with a sword or with a gunshot, even if you don't see any piece missing, let's say someone was killed with a sword. You don't see any piece missing. It just got slashed. We consider that to be missing. And therefore the relative can't go to the funeral. And the Rama says, nachon lehachmir. And this is a big machlokas nowadays among the poskim. The Aruch HaShulchan is makel against this Ramah, but the Geshur HaChaim says the minig is to be machmir, nachol lahachmir. Again, it's a nachol lahachmir. You know, whenever it's a nachol lahachmir, we have to have flexibility for people in difficult psychological circumstances. But nachol lahachmir, therefore, the Geshur HaChaim says the Iker minig is like the Ramah, that nachol lahachmir, and therefore, if someone was killed, even if we don't see any pieces missing, that's called missing. If someone cut their neck and killed them, cut their neck with a sword and killed them, that's called chaser, even if it looks like they're all there. And I don't mean if they died because someone poisoned them. No, that's not a harug. I don't mean they died because someone asphyxiated them. I mean if they died because someone cut them, right? Then that's called the chisaron, even if it looks complete. It's sometimes hard to tell. That's the Chumrah the Ramah, that if someone died by being cut, by being pogay in his body, that's a chalos chisaron. It's nachon lahachmir like this Ramah. Okay, again, in all the nachon lahachmirs, you have to use psak sensitivity in these things. Okay, I'll just remind us of something that Pesachei Tshuva tells us. That's a Devar Pashut, every Talmud Chacham knows. But just in case we forgot, the Pesachei Tshuva's cut above points out, Aver Menachai is Metame. But half of an Aver Menachai or Basar Menachai is not Metame. Only a complete Aver Menachai is Metame. Aver means one of the 248 Avarim. You have to know the halachic definition. But a Stam piece of a Chai, and an Aver has to have a bone and tendons or sinews or muscles, whatever they are, in flesh. And it has to have a certain amount of flesh, etc. But a stam piece from a chai is not matame, and that's not a problem for kohen or for tum v'tara or anything else. Only an aver. And you have to know the halachic definition of aver. If you're not sure what it is, look in the beginning of all those, the Mishnah list, all 248 Avarim. Right, the Ramache Varav, which is Sagidav. The Ramache Varav are listed in the Mishnah in the beginning of all those. Okay, so much for Simon Shinayin Dalit, and I see that, Shinayin Gimel, sorry. I see that the hour is late, so we'll have to pick up Let's remember that Sunday Shir is going to be late. It's going to be after Myra. We'll call it 8:15. Let's call it 8:15. Just so everyone will make sure to be there as close to 8:15 as possible. I mean, 8:15, you might finish davening Myra, you might not. But you have to get back to your rooms. So we'll call it 8:15 to 8:20. And I'll see you then. Mirza Hashem, if anyone has questions, now is a great time to ask questions. Okay, if no one has questions, then I will excuse myself because I'm supposed to be at a Zoom chasana now. Matan Erder, I don't know if you guys know him. He's a gross guy from many years ago. It's always very special when a Talmud gets married, and I wish I could be there, but you know how it is.